welcome back to the RV America Y'all podcast.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Tom, and we're RV America Y'all.
We are native Texans and full-time RVers who are all about exploring the great state of Texas and beyond, one campground at a time. We're on a mission to experience life, not just live it, and we're bringing you along for the fun.
We're still here at Jamaica Beach RV Resort in Galveston, Texas. This is episode 31.
And this week we are very excited to be joined by our good friends, Buddy and Jeanette, fellow full-time RVers from Texas. We're going to talk about their journey and adventures and challenges and all that fun stuff. So sit back, relax, and join us as we RV America, y'all. So yes, we are so excited to be joined by our good friends, Buddy and Jeanette, today. Theirs is a story that we've wanted to share with you for quite a while. So we are very excited to be sitting in their coach. We just had some amazing chicken wings and potato salad.
Yes, we did.
Sorry, guys. There's no sharing of food here through the audio, but... Thanks so much for having us over, y'all, and participating, for being our first guests on this relaunch of the podcast and sharing your experiences. So we're excited to be here. Thank you so much.
We're honored to be your first guest.
Yes. All right.
So what we want to do with these is kind of sit down with fellow RVers and have them share their stories so that you're not just listening to our story all the time. And so I guess why don't we start with a little bit. Well, let me just say, we met Buddy and Jeanette, gosh, what's it been, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
I think it was longer. Almost three years ago.
Yep. It's right after we got hit, out in Georgia, and we had to get body work done, and they happened to be parked right next to us at the dealership.
And that was very fortunate.
And we've kept up ever since, and now we've seen each other in several different states.
Yes. Well, it's true. I think we've been in Alabama and Georgia and... Colorado,
Missouri.
Yes, we were in Missouri with y'all.
Yeah, yeah,
and in Texas.
And so. Now we pretty much plan to meet up every year in Texas. So far, it's happened that way,
and maybe somewhere else.
We're hoping so.
It's true.
So I guess before we get into it too much, would you guys mind sharing, if I can speak, a little bit about what you travel in, why you chose your coach, kind of how you came to that decision?
We have a 2017 Newmar Mountain Air. It's 45 feet, and we bought it in 2021.
May,
yeah, May of 2020. Friends who bought it new. So we were familiar with the coach before it became ours. We were advised to seek out a mountain air, even though we were looking for a different model. And so this became available, and with some trials and tribulations, it became ours.
And we love it. The room is great. The features are wonderful. We've modified it some to suit our needs, which we've had a lot of fun with. Before the mountain air, we had a Ventana.
Okay.
For a couple of years, that was our trial motorhome.
Okay.
Before that, we had a travel trailer while we were both still working full-time, which was great because we did a lot of weekend trips. Now we've transitioned into full-timing, so it's a different world and different needs. We went bigger. And I was the one that was afraid to go over 40 feet.
So being full-time, how long have y'all full-timed?
since the day we sold our house in May of 21.
Yeah, I think when we met you guys, actually, you had just hit the road.
Oh, we were still in shock.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you actually told me at that point that you were kind of using this time to figure out where you wanted to live next. And
oh, we still are.
Yeah.
Our intention was to find a home base, probably still in Texas. More than 2.5 years later, we haven't gotten around to that yet.
Well, we're glad you haven't, really.
Yeah. Now, does your Mountain Air have a name? A lot of people name their RVs. Ours is Freedom.
We call this one Annie.
Annie. Okay.
Annie is derived from Jeanette's mother's name, Ann.
Okay.
And for reasons we won't go into details, Jeanette's mother is a real hero of mine.
Okay. Awesome.
We kind of upgraded it to Glamp Annie.
That's true.
My mother would be proud.
That's good. That's really
awesome.
Neat.
That's awesome. Now, you have an interesting kind of transition into RVing because before you were full-time RVers, well, you had a house, but before that, at some point in your lives, you guys were full-time on boats.
True.
That's how we met.
And it was an adventure. Because of a divorce, I moved from a house in the Houston area onto my sailboat, which was in the Kema area, Clear Lake, yep. About halfway between Houston and Galveston. And wasn't long before another boat showed up, and Jeanette was on that one.
Okay.
She was married at the time, and we became friends over a period of about 5 years.
Yeah.
All in the boating community was very similar but different from the RV community. Mm-hmm. And we had a grand time. We sailed together, and other people in our lives went away, and we ended up on the dock together. And a few motorcycle rides later, and I hooked her.
So but living on the boats was a lot like a community where we lived in a marina, and it had great people. They were professionals. They were engineers, medical people, insurance people. I was going back to school. He was in the business too. So it was an interesting community, a lot like the RV communities that we've come across.
And obviously the small space.
Yes.
Small space.
Yeah.
Much smaller than this.
When we moved off, we went to apartments and houses, and we still had a little sailboat in Lake Travis, so we couldn't give up boating. But then we couldn't go anywhere. So that's what caused us to start thinking about RVing. So really, we sold the boat because Travis was not a constant level lake.
It goes
up and down.
And down a whole
so we couldn't
lot.
Use it when it flooded. We couldn't use it when it was drought. So we bought an RV, a travel trailer, and had a great time with that. So that's what transitioned us, and we went bigger.
We didn't realize it at the time, but sailing and Lake Travis is what initiated our start with RVing, because we went camping on a sailing trip. We had a tent and a brand-new dog.
Oh, wow.
A horrendous storm came up. It flattened our tent. Everything was soaked. All of our bedding was sopping wet.
Oh, no.
And this trembling dog ended up in the back seat of our pickup truck, and we had to spend the night in the front seats of the truck.
Oh, my gosh.
So in the morning, the tent was graciously slammed into a big trash can, and with a vow that no more tenting ever. And that's held true for the duration.
You know, that's interesting because years ago, when we were fairly new to RVing, we went up to Caprock Canyon State Park, which has become one of our favorites. Yeah. But the first trip we made up there, a big storm came through. It was a bad one. Boy, lots of wind and thunder and pouring rain, and Tom slept through it. And the next morning, I went to the bathhouse, and there was a lady that was in there that she looked exhausted. And she said, you know, I have always said that I'm a tent camper. RVing is not camping. I'm not going to be that person. I'm a tent camper. She goes, when I leave here, I'm going to go look at least a pop-up.
It's funny how mudslides can change your thinking.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Mother Nature can be very persuasive. So so now you're into RVing, and you're traveling the country as full-time RVers. How's that working out for you? Is it what you had expected? Did you have expectations of it when you went into it?
Before we launched our full-time, our first day as a full-timer or as full-timers, we had some idea about what it might be like because we have friends who are full-timers. And our experience has been nothing like theirs. And it's always been a kind of a one day at a time, let's see what tomorrow deals us. And of course, planning helps the dealing. But we have thoroughly enjoyed it. We really got into this thinking it would be a very short-term thing. And we really don't know when it's going to end now. We are looking for some land. And the Northeast Texas area has our attention at this point.
Okay.
But we don't, you know, we don't know what that's going to look like or where it's going to be.
Right.
I'd say when we first started, got on full time, we had rallies planned, so we didn't plan the whole year out. But it's been a transition on learning how to full time.
Right.
Because you don't want to hop from place to place all the time. It's just too much trouble to make reservations. So we learned to stay places longer, be more economical about where you stay a week, two right. weeks, a month at a time. We just spent a learning curve all the way along. And then we started thinking about what else can we do while we're doing this? You can go from resort to resort. That's not our style. So we have transitioned into the volunteer work that we talked about before.
Right. Yeah. So before we get into that, you kind of mentioned planning. Do you have a certain way that you've come about doing your planning now, or what does that look like? Who does the planning for you guys?
We are joint planners in a large way. We have large events that we agree together.
Rallies,
we're going to attend. Mm-hmm. And for an example, this year we went to the Newmar International Rally in Missouri, where we met with y'all.
Yep, right. Saw you guys there.
So that was one of the core places that we were planning on. And then another thing came up that corresponded with that, and that was a work camping thing, and that was in northwestern Wisconsin. We had also met some friends at the Spartan Academy a year earlier, and they were volunteers. They were getting us into some volunteer work, but before we did any volunteer work, they planned a trip to Moab in Utah, and so they invited us to join them there, and so some big pieces started coming together with, right. Okay, let's make a trip out of starting in Galveston, and then we went to Moab, and then to Colorado, and then to Yellowstone, and we planned a trip that took us to Wisconsin for 3 months, and then to Missouri, and then we always attend the Hoots Rally in the fall, and that was in South Carolina. So the larger activities helped create the smaller, you know, we filled in the gaps with the right. smaller planning. And Jeanette tends to manage that a lot more effectively than I do.
And we also belong to Escapees, and we also did a Mardi Gras rally. So,
oh, okay.
So basically, yeah. for the year, you look at the year, what rallies do we want to attend,
uh-huh.
and you build those in, and then you just have to fill in the gaps between. And this year, Buddy lucked into he thought about Yellowstone. He called them, and somehow we got into Yellowstone. We're like, that never happens.
Amazing. Y'all stayed in Fishing Bridge,
yes,
correct?
Yes, we stayed in Fishing Bridge.
That's a pretty rare opportunity.
Absolutely.
So
that brings something up that we didn't bring up. I think we need to bring up that y'all's coach is a 44-foot coach?
Is 45.
45. It's a 45-foot coach. So 13, they have...
Over 13 feet tall.
Yeah, and so getting into Yellowstone is a major deal. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
And Fishing Bridge, I think, might be the only place within Yellowstone you can get into.
Yeah, and it's it was just 2 years in redoing it. So it's a beautiful concrete area, full hookups. We got there on May 19th, and they were still shoveling the snow out.
Oh, my God.
In Yellowstone. But that was a incredible. So that was part of the, after Moab, we knew we were going to make our way to Yellowstone. This year was national parks. Yellowstone, the Grand Tetons, Glacier, along with Moab, Mesa Verde.
Yep. Mm.
So you kind of build the trip. All of a sudden, it just starts falling into place.
So do you use special software or anything to help you plan these trips? Or
we do. We use
TripWizard.
TripWizard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just as a mostly for distance, what's available, trying to plot point A to point B, how many miles is it? So that's very helpful in that respect.
Do you ever have trouble, being that you're basically a 45-foot coach, you're towing your truck, do you ever worry about where you're going to be staying based on your size or the paths that you're going to be taking?
Only every single time, yes.
We've been in some really tight spots. Last year we did some rallies and put us in some tiny, tiny state parks are the toughest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are older. They're not meant for big rigs.
Mm.
And there's parks where I don't know how Buddy got through them. We do go to a park we don't know about, especially state parks. We separate the car. We go and drive it before we bring the rig in.
Oh, okay.
That's a great idea.
You have to. We're tall. We don't bend well around trees.
Yeah.
And I remember one in Tennessee, Montgomery Bell. I went up there and I looked at it for him. I came back and said, "You can do it."
Oh.
It was where he had to inch through that park, 5 miles an hour, and had a lot of turns, a lot of trees. He got it in there.
Wow.
But I recommend scoping out the park before you take your rig in there.
That's a great idea. We always recommend to make sure people disconnect their toad.
Yes.
Right away.
Absolutely. Right away. As soon as you can disconnect it, you need to disconnect it.
Don't, absolutely.
Because even in some RV parks, you'll see folks driving through still connected. And, you never know what you're going to run into. There may be folks parked in your way. There may be rocks. There may be trees. There may be tight turns. You just don't know.
And we do that even when it's a one-nighter. Mm-hmm. Unless we know the park and we know it's an easy pull-in, pull-through,
right,
we're going to unhook.
Mm-hmm.
Our routine, when we check into a park, Jeanette will go inside and do the check-in procedure while I'm unhooking the toad.
Okay.
And then she comes out and she knows where our site is at that point, and she will drive to that and scope it out, and then she comes back, and I've cleaned up my hands and I'm ready to drive then. So
that's a great tip.
Yes, it is.
That's a great tip.
Yes, it is. What so far now in your RVing life, from your travel trailer forward, what's your favorite thing so far about the RV lifestyle?
Wow. We're boating. We're limited where we could go.
Uh-huh.
The RV lifestyle, we can pretty much go wherever we want to. And I think that allows a lot of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Given the time, we have a rule about we're not going to drive to 8-10 hours a day.
Right.
I don't do the driving. Buddy does it. But, there's a limit on how much you should drive.
Sure.
Enjoy yourself. Not try to. We're retired.
Why would you be in a hurry?
And we're full-timers. We don't have to be in a hurry.
So we get to go places that we never would have gone before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll add to that. It's the people that we meet and the friends that we make in these travels. Without that, I think it would be a pretty hollow, shallow way to spend our time.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the relationships, we end up bumping into people that we've met before.
Yeah.
We meet new people constantly. And some of them are just ships passing in the night. We'll never see them again. And others, we want to be sure that we see them again.
Right.
And so their name gets, goes in the phone directory. But the combination of the freedom to move around and the people that that we meet and get to know makes it an awesome lifestyle.
Yeah, for people that think this lifestyle, you're going to have trouble meeting and making friends, I don't think that's the case at all.
You know, it doesn't mean you're good buddies and you're talking all the time. We met a couple in the Upper Peninsula, and it's funny, when we go through Michigan, we touch base with them. Hey, we're in through, and we end up either meeting up somewhere, and that's the only time we talk to them.
Isn't that funny?
But it's just, that's where you know you can contact them and say, we're here, and we'll go out to dinner or something like that. So yeah, it's that's the kind of relationships you can build.
I was surprised when we first were full-timers and really traveling a lot, how often we would see the same people, not planned,
exactly,
in a different part of the country.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's one of the best things about
it. Absolutely.
And you sit here now and you say, gosh, we've run into you guys so many times, and a lot of it has been planned, but you just never know. You know,
service place, service
chop.
Places, and unfortunately, if the next question is what we don't like the most, it's when you do have service problems.
Sure.
But you meet the neatest people.
It's true.
In a service center. And we've met a lot of people we've stayed in touch with at service centers.
It's true.
Because, some people don't realize, in the full-time lifestyle, if you need service, you got to find a place where hopefully you can stay in your rig while they fix it.
Right.
So when that happens, you meet new folks.
Yeah, because in the evening, people are sitting outside and, hey, what are you in here for?
I mean,
almost
we
like
wouldn't
being in jail, I guess.
We wouldn't
what are
be
you in
here
for?
Today. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that appointment, probably, that we had. So, it worked for us.
Yes.
It's absolutely true. And I know I can't count on 10 fingers the number of people that today we call friends that we have met for the first time in a service center.
That is completely unexpected, but 100% true.
For sure.
Yes.
So make the most of a tough deal. And we have.
So that's something that you don't like. Do you have any pet peeves? You know, it's like, is there something that other folks do that you just think, gosh, I wish they would know not to do that?
Well, I'm going to say, as a sitting in the passenger seat in a big rig, God bless the truck drivers that are really good. But the people that, I guess during travel, they just absolutely have to get around you and cut you off and do silly things. And they don't realize, we keep up with the speed limit.
Right.
We're not going to slow you down. But I think as far as driving, I get more nervous because I'm sitting there watching them come on my right, passing us on the right. I wish people had a little more respect for RVs. Now, there's some out there that are not great drivers, but then again, most people are quite responsible in driving these things.
Jeanette frequently says that she wishes the passenger seat had its own set of air horns and a paintball gun.
Well, I don't think folks think of RVs like they think of a big dump truck.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't stop on a dime.
Right.
And if they swerve right in front of us and then traffic stops, I mean, it's very tough for us to stop this vehicle in a quick fashion.
Yeah. I think they have no concept of how much we weigh.
Yes.
That we're a lot like a big truck.
Yeah.
Right.
And even coming into campgrounds and bless the hearts of people that want to help you when you're trying to set up. I'd say to all RVers, say hi and then let people set up their coach.
Correct.
Or their RV or travel trailer, whatever, and then go talk.
Yes, I agree with that.
We have to have routines and we have to focus on what we're doing.
Right. And that doesn't, even if you've been doing it for 20 years, I think that's still, even if it's, just kind of muscle memory for setting up, if you get interrupted in that, you could easily make a mistake.
And we have.
Yes, we have.
And so have we. And I want to add to the peeve list. Campfires can be incredibly annoying at campsites, especially when the things are pretty tight.
Oh.
I agree.
You don't have a lot of real estate to work with, and then comes this big smoky log, and you can't even go outside your coach because there's... this black cloud.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't open your windows.
Can't open your windows. And, you know, others, they don't realize that a spark can go from that. And I've heard stories of someone having their bay door open and one spark goes in and your bay's on fire. And you don't know it immediately. And if you don't have a fire extinguisher out there, that's bad news. That's real bad news. Yeah. So that's another thing. If they're going to have fires out there, or your neighbor does or you do, don't have your bay doors open.
Well, please don't let them burn all night. We've seen that too many times.
Sure.
People leave the fires.
Out. When you leave the fire, put it out.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, not only the bay doors are a problem, but we have large areas of canvas that we have out. You know, awnings are one spark can take out the whole coach.
Yeah. Right. And quickly.
We experienced that on the sailboats when we were in the marina when people were shooting off firecrackers.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
We lived in a marina that had condos, and they shoot them off the patios and go, there's 100 boats here with sails, and they're shooting off fireworks. So, again, kind of fire is a problem.
Yes.
Yep, for sure.
I agree. Now,
that's good.
You mentioned a little bit about it earlier, but can you tell us a little bit more about your work camping experiences? Because this is something we get a lot of questions on, but we have no experience with at this point. It's on our radar, maybe for the future, but you guys have done it a few times now.
We have. We are currently at our third work campsite. The first one was the most spectacular RV park. It's a tiny little place in North Carolina. If I can say the name.
Sure, absolutely.
It's Deer Springs RV Park. Super great place. Only 8 campsites, but it's expanding now. It's going to go. They're going big to 12.
Ooh.
So we volunteered to be the campground host for the month of October of 2022. And it was a great experience. We met a lot of people. I would say that none of those became long-term friends, but it was very enjoyable interactions.
Yep.
We also learned that campground hosting is hard work. While the demands weren't great on our, from the campground owner, we worked our tails off because we felt that's what we should have done.
Right.
Right. Now, when you park host, though, what kind of compensation are you getting?
We get a free RV site.
Okay. Okay.
And it was full hookups. And beyond that, that's all.
In that case, I would say if people are thinking about that, there are places that will give you some pay and along with your site. So it's just a matter of researching and deciding where you want to be, what you want to do. That was a 1 month commitment only, which suited us fine. But we also learned, even though it was a small campground, you had to be there every time somebody came or went. So we only had maybe 3 or 4 days that we actually had to ourselves. So when you're the only hosts,
that's a little different. You have
to be there all the time. So you have to consider that when you're looking at hosting. Who else is going to do it? Are you sharing it? How big a park? What do they require of you? There's so many variables. We don't want to do the campground hosting. We've decided that's not the way to go.
Well, how did you find these opportunities?
The first one was just in conversation around the campfire with the campground owner.
Okay.
We said, hey, if there's ever an opportunity, we'd be interested in taking part. And he was gracious enough to invite us, and we worked it out, so we were there for 1 month, and it was perfect. And we have our experience there did not turn us against camp hosting. It just taught us that there are ways we would rather spend our time.
Okay, right? Yeah, sure.
I mentioned earlier that we met a couple at the Spartan Academy up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So our coach is on a Spartan chassis, and we figured out early on we'd better learn something about what's rolling us around. So we went there, and one of the couples we met there, Steve and Joan, had been work camping for, about 15 years. And they had great stories to tell. So they invited us to one of their work camp sites, which is in Northeast Texas, at a community college there. we dropped by and visited and met some of the people. And they have a very nice little community of volunteers. They have 8 campsites. And so that's 15 people. And they socialize together. They play cards. They go out to eat. They cook together. And they work together. And they work as a team. And so big, hard, you know, massive jobs become real easy because everybody's just taking little bites. Mm. So that interests us. And then
we went back that, 2 times to visit there.
We did.
Yeah.
Two short visits, like less than a week. And then we found a job at the Iron River National Fish Hatchery in Iron River, Wisconsin. And
it sounds interesting.
Oh, it was a hoot.
And so I think people want to know, how do you find these jobs? So the community college was word of mouth.
Okay.
So the person that's been doing it for a couple of years, he recruits people that he thinks is going to blend in. So it very much is, why are you there? You're not there to save money. That's not the purpose. We wanted to do something. We wanted to spend time. We like the physical work. It's outdoor work. It's part of the maintenance services there at the college. The manager of that is very low-keyed. He puts the project list on the board. The volunteers decide how they're going to approach it.
Okay.
That suits us. Not all places are going to do that. They're going to be telling you what to do. So you have to know how you like to work.
Right.
So the manager doesn't supervise anybody.
Okay.
We just go in and talk with them. Here's what we're going to do. Teams get together. We finish the job. Here's what we need. So it's perfect for us.
How much time do they require of y'all's for the site? Is it different?
It's all different. This one was only 15 hours, but everybody puts in
more
than that.
Is that 15 per person, or is that?
In this situation, it's only per RV site.
In a week, 15 hours.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
But this is very unusual, and by doing that, he gets a lot more out of people because we're doing it by project.
Right.
When we went to, so again, those same volunteers told us about the work they do. They found a lot of jobs through volunteer.gov. Mm. So if somebody's interested in Fish and Wildlife, the Forest Service, Corps of Engineer, volunteer.gov has about 5 or 6 agencies that list their jobs.
Okay.
You will see, usually it's for an RV pad. You have to look for the ones that give you the RV pad. There is no pay. Usually they want a 3-month commitment. It depends, though. Some of them are very flexible. So again, you have to do your research. We started thinking about Fish and Wildlife. That sounds cool. Again, volunteers convinced us that they got wildlife management. They have hatcheries. They have all these projects. So that's how we got into that. And
you got to spend the summer in Wisconsin.
Well, our goal was to go north. So that's how we got into that. We got accepted. We actually had 2 positions that were offered to us. So
then you had your pick between those 2.
Yeah, there was one in South Dakota that we turned down for Wisconsin.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey. It's good to be in demand. So I just have a couple more questions for you. What has been, do you think, the biggest challenge that you have faced so far in RVing?
Deaf heads. We had, shortly after we bought this coach, we had a deaf head failure. And after reading everything that was on the forums about those, you could be stranded for months waiting for parts. We had the good fortune of getting a replacement part and the labor that goes with it inside of 1 week, and we were back on the road. And that was just before we met y'all.
Okay.
After we met y'all, we had a second deaf failure, but it was a different problem. And it ended up being a Cummins issue rather than a Spartan issue. And again, with lots of begging and treating people really nice, we were given good counsel. We went to a place that was able to get us in and out in a great big hurry, and it really didn't interrupt our travels that much. But it was a challenge, and in both cases, it caused us to seriously rearrange our schedule.
Yeah, I'd say the other challenge with full-time RVing, you have to be somewhere all the time.
Right.
We don't have a lot that we go to that's ours that we own. So planning that can be overwhelming at times. You can't plan too far ahead. I mean, you have rallies we go to. But just trying to plan, like we get interrupted with a problem, RV parks today are not as generous.
Right.
In letting you get a refund, maybe only take a small amount. More and more of them are just saying, no, right. You lose everything.
Mm.
So the challenge is trying to plan your time so you know where you're going, but you also got to be careful about how much money you're putting into it, and then things happen on the road.
Right.
So we just find parks are more and more less forgiving. Some of them will give you a credit for future if you stay a year later, but right. We're not going to go that way a year later.
Right.
So and you have to be willing
to. We had that happen. Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to lose the money and go on.
Right.
But I think planning where you stay all the time is a challenge. And it's, people talk about staying at Walmarts and this and that. Well, you're not going to do that for more than a night.
Right.
So that part of the planning can be challenging, I say.
I agree. So on that note, if you had somebody that you met and they were getting ready to maybe jump into the RVing lifestyle, or maybe they were new to RVing, what piece of advice would you share with them, do you think?
Wow, I'll go say we changed so much. We went from travel trailer, still working, then to a Class A. That was a big deal for us to go to a Class A, and now we're full-timing. We're retired. I think you have to be aware of where you are in your life. What time do you have? How much time do you have to travel?
I would add, people need to be realistic with their expectations and very flexible in their learning of heading down a new path.
Yeah.
You have to realize that you are heading down a path you've not been down before, and there's not a preview. You could learn from other people's experiences, but you can't possibly know what's around the next corner, the next bend, the next campground.
Right.
And you never know who you're going to meet. It may be your next best friend for life, and it may be, well, who knows?
Yeah.
And you have to know your comfort level. Are you going to boondock all the time? What does that really mean? Everybody has different comfort levels. On some people, their idea of camping is only on concrete in a resort with Mai Tais over in the corner. So you just have to be aware of what you're willing to do as far as camping. We love the outdoors. We've boondocked a lot. The best experiences, when we were in Wisconsin, I saw the Northern Lights.
That's awesome.
Out in the middle of farmlands, and we were pretty remote, but it was fabulous experience. So what are you looking for in experiences?
I think those are great, great points.
For sure.
Oh, my gosh. We could talk on forever, I know, and we usually do, just so y'all know. But we really appreciate y'all joining us today to share all y'all's stories and your wisdom and your travels, and thank you so much, Buddy and Jeanette, for coming along and sharing not just with us but with our audience. So we definitely appreciate you guys.
For sure. We've been trying to corral y'all in for a little bit of time now.
Well, we haven't planned our summer volunteer work yet, but we'll see what happens.
And I look forward to hearing about it, because y'all always have the great stories.
Yeah, for sure.
We have calls in now to for a position in Maine and another one in Colorado. So
wow. Well, we could go. So you really don't know where you're going.
No, we don't.
That's good, but that's part of the adventure.
That is part of the adventure. So, gosh, guys, if y'all have any questions for Buddy and Jeanette, you know, if you're on YouTube and you're listening to this on YouTube, you can leave us a comment. You can always shoot us an email. We'll put all the links in the show notes. And, this has been fantastic. If you've enjoyed hearing their story, we have a lot more coming up for you. So make sure you're subscribed on whatever podcast platform you prefer. And, of course, you can always listen to the RV America Y'all podcast on our website, rvamericayall.com. Until next time, y'all, safe travels.
And happy camping.
Bye.